to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting that Right Side Radio the dude was just talking about, and we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, you can listen to us daily no matter where you are. If you're outside of the broad range of WVNN's AM FM capability, just go to rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is. That's why we have listeners in so many places in many different states, for that matter. But, hey, we're going to go to my favorite segment. One of my favorite segments of the entire week is the opportunity to gather together with two other guys who I really respect in the industry. They've been doing it a lot longer than I have. I'm going to do a roll call here. Do I have a Jeff Poor from 106.5 on the air with us?
You do.
I like it. Do I have a Dale Jackson from WVNN with me?
Yes, even with one eye tied behind my back.
With that said, I pronounce a quorum for the Grand Council. Copper, hit the sound effect.
Monday, when Governor Ivey makes it official, but for reapportionment, does the legislature, yes or no, look at anything beyond, and this could include gambling or it could include COVID-19 vaccinations, look at anything beyond just reapportionment?
Yeah, I'll jump on that that first while Dale soothes his bad eye. So the reality is, first of all, too, the governor, I don't know if you saw it, but the governor just declared the special session just in the last hour and a half for October 28th. So that's when they're apparently coming in, is the 28th. I don't know that she officially issued the official call, because even Attorney General Steve Marshall was on my show yesterday, was talking about the fact that he's encouraging them to include strengthening of vaccine passport bans and that kind of thing in a special session. Give people something to work with here and do away with some of the concerns. But so far, the letter from the governor, which I don't think was the official call, does not even mention anything except redistricting. What do you think, Dale?
Well, gambling is a hard no. Del Marsh has basically given that one up in his last term, so I think
assemble
that,
the Grand Council.
Oh, what happened there? But I think that what we'll have is Del Marsh saying, no, we're not doing that, so gambling's dead. As for this mask and vaccine mandate ban and stuff like that, I hope so. I hear that there's a lot of pressure being put on the governor's office, but again, she said nothing about it, so that leads me to believe, no, they won't address it.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Jeff? It's your question. Take it away.
Well, and also, I they want to change the medical marijuana dates, too. There seems to be a lot of discussion about that. I give it 50-50 that something besides things dealing with reapportionment will be taken up in the special session, or that could come in the form of the call, or it could be overridden to 2/3 supermajority. Maybe something else gets brought up, a resolution or something. But I give it even odds.
Yep, I tend to agree with that. All right, I'll tell you what, I'll take the next one then. Let's stick with special session. So special session is about redistricting, and for all of our listeners who probably already know this, but that basically means they're redrawing the lines based on census data for congressional districts and state house and state senate and school board districts. All right, all that to say, there's a push right now by some to require that they draw two Democrat-controlled congressional districts. Right now, because of prior court rulings, we have one that is typically always going to be minority-based, and that's the only Democrat we have in our U.S. delegation is Representative Terry Sewell. Do you foresee any movement at all or instances where the court might get involved and say you're going to have two Democrat districts?
I Dale? Think no. I think the obvious answer is no. The courts have sort of taken a hands-off on the redistricting stuff in district lines over the last couple of years, saying that that's not their role. Partisan gerrymanders are basically the nature of the beast. I mean, that's not the exact wording, but that's basically what they said. And I think, no, they're going to be hard-pressed to find a way to draw two Democrat districts here. I don't envision that being an issue. I think more interesting is the state house seats. And I think we talked about it last time. There was one member, the name escapes me. Phil, you probably know it off the top of your head. The female member who feels she's being drawn out, and she's not too very happy about that.
That's Charlotte Meadows, and that's a possibility because she's the one who has bucked the teachers' union on school choice, and there's some concern that the teachers' union is getting its way and having her drawn out. Yeah. Jeff, what you think, man?
I think it's I don't think it's going to happen, but I would hope it would. Let's try two congressional districts that they think will lean Democrat, because Republicans could win that. Republicans could come in and take both of those if they start to water down those districts and bring in more Republican votes. Wow. To get two Democrat districts. And look at the way the two parties are right now. Who would you bet on, the Alabama Democratic Party or the Alabama Republican Party, if they went head to head?
You know, that's great. I mean, I like the idea. I'll finish up my question then. That's pretty cool. I like the idea of the possibility of Russian roulette with congressional districts, sort of like come and take it kind of mentality. So I be honest with you, I stick with Dale. I don't think that they're going to wind up drawing it in such a way that creates two minority leaning, Democrat leaning congressional districts. But that is an interesting conundrum. What if you did, and you just went ahead and said, we'll be you, Huckleberry, and they went ahead and just went Republican in both because they could. All right, who had the question next? Dale, you're up, bud.
All right, I keep hearing it. I keep being told Michael Durant's hired the best people in D.C. Michael Durant, Black Hawk Down. Michael Durant, he's got a lot of money. Michael Durant, he's going to get in the race. Tick, tick, tick. Is he done, or is he getting in? I keep hearing it's happening. What's the deadline here, Phil?
I don't know. First of all, the deadline is qualifying. So qualifying period comes after the first of the year, and then of course there's the primary.
What's the realistic deadline if you're going to play? what's that deadline?
If he's going to get in, I think he has to get in by mid-November. I think he wants to try and catch the ability to be in the news cycle coming into the holidays, take the time to get out and see people. I do know, personally speaking, that he has definitely considered this, but of course Yellowhammer reported it also. But whether he's going to or not, I don't know, man. He's got a whole lot of business interests and federal contracts and things like that that I'm sure that he would love to not have to worry about having to report daily. I think he'd be better for a major state office, but we'll see how that plays out.
Jeffro, is it just me though? He's they're putting him in a race to try to take votes away from Mo Brooks. Now, Carson Brooks doesn't think so. He thinks he'll take votes away from Katie Britt. But where has Mo Brooks traditionally done well in all his statewide runs? If you look at the map, 2006 lieutenant governor, and 2017 it was Madison, Morgan, Limestone counties. You run Michael Durant, he's going to do well up there. I think they're just trying to take votes away from Mo to keep Katie in the runoff. It's an establishment play. Am I the only one that sees this? I don't think he is a legitimate contender statewide at this late stage of the game.
I'll throw one more thing on you on that, though. I do think in this age when we're looking for heroes, when we're trying to find someone who's conservative, and this has been the 30th anniversary of Black Hawk Down, which is where he is known for, I do think that his image would resonate in a statewide race. But I agree with you on the U.S. Senate. I see that being as something that gives a distraction. But Dale, it's your question, man. What do you think on it?
Well, in response to Jeff, I said, yes, I think that's the play that they're going for, to hurt him in North Alabama. But I think if you walked around and said, hey, who's Michael Durant? People would say, huh? And then you said, Black Hawk Down guy. And they'd go, oh, who? And I think that the name ID is far overblown from what the actual name ID is.
Well, we'll see where it goes. I had him on the show about a month ago, just talking about more like veterans and business type issues. But we'll see what happens. All right, folks. Hey, fellas, we're going to take this short break we got to take right about now. It's a good time since we're through with the first three questions. All right, folks, moving into a short break right now. Just stay with us because we come back with the Grand Council, my brethren, Jeff Poor from 106.5 down there in the coastal areas, and our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN. We will ping some more questions off each other and enlighten you as to the varying degrees of authority that we carry in politics. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going back to the Grand Council, and hey, fellas, by the way, before we hit the questions again, I'll just tell you, I just got a text from one of our legislators who said, with regards to the question of anything kind of like COVID-related, vaccine passports, vaccine mandates in the special session. He doubts it. His words were seriously doubted, but who knows? So we'll see. But where are we back to? Jeff, I think you are you next? Go ahead, man. What you got?
So I've been talking to some well-placed sources within the federal delegation. Tell me, you know, longtime watchers say that they've never seen our federal delegation as fractured as they are. And it's not just Jerry Carl and Mo Brooks, but there's a lot of other underlying divisions and underlying squabbles going on. Does this matter? Or do is this something that do these guys need to get their act together and work together? Or is this something that is not really as important as maybe we may think it is?
I'll let you go first, Dale.
If it's over Alpha, it's not important. If it's over NDAA, it's slightly more important. Whatever the other issues are, it's obviously not important enough for them to tell us what's actually going on there, so maybe not that important. But if there is disunity there, it hasn't really shown itself too much, but maybe it could cause problems down the line.
Yeah, and I can't help but believe that some of that's going to be related to the actual Senate race right now. You've got Senator Shelby, who's retiring, obviously, and we're not hearing pretty much anything out of him. I mean, when's the last time you heard him speak about Afghanistan or speak about the reconciliation bill? I mean, virtually silent by comparison to the junior senator, Senator Tuberville. But then his former chief of staff is Katie Britt, who's running against Mo Brooks, who's a Freedom Caucus guy, whereas Katie Britt is, you know, more in line with the establishment. And both are considered to be viable candidates. So there's creating friction, I think, right there. And then you got the rest of the delegation that, yeah, the Alpha thing is out there, but it's an indication of underlying angst, and they're responding to their constituency by sort of slapping out there about how they love farmers, even though some people don't, and I'm sick of watching it. I do think they can still get things done, but it's obvious that there's some personality issues going on right now. Take it, Jeff. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I also think there's some maybe a little bit of a turf war over some of the reapportionment lines, different things like that, and some fundraising things, and you go through the gambit, the ranking member of the Armed Services, Mike Rogers. He feels like he's doing favors for a lot of these guys in their districts, and they're not repaying him. That gets back to the NDAA, but I think there's potentially more problems later on down the line, but who knows? And there doesn't seem to be necessarily a strong voice at the top, even though Robert Adderholt is the dean. He's kind of backed off. He's not really being the leader. Not that he should be or anything, but maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, we've got about 3 minutes left, so Dale, I'm going to throw it to you. Take one.
Critical race theory, Alabama school board, they voted on a resolution basically saying critical race theory is bad. We should not be pushing it. There was some dissension there in the mix, 6-2. The crowd and the teachers who spoke against it were insistent that we're not teaching critical race theory and it's never been taught. But we should totally teach critical race theory. But we're not doing it, but we totally should. Why are they so worried about this if they don't care? I mean, if we're truly not doing it, no one has any plans to do it, why are they so mad that it could be banned? Does anyone know?
Go, Jeff Rowe. What you think, man?
No, it is a political flashpoint, and these people on the school board are responding to their constituents. Forget what the media say. Forget what the media say if it's not a problem. But I do think a lot of there's a lot of the divisions, this conflation of like critical race theory, the textbook version that you look up that they teach in college, and this generic critical race theory term that would apply to the 1619 Project or you know, any of these other diversity training programs like they're doing in Huntsville City Schools and Mount Brook City Schools. And that's creating a little bit of the disagreement, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're constantly battling with the concept that they can say it's not being taught, but it's only as to the version that you're talking about, the college level actual theory version that's, you know, espoused by professors. The difference is what we would call more like the street rules level of version of critical race theory. It is out there. It is being infiltrated into certain areas, and I'm glad that they finally responded. Do I think this issue is going away? No. I think it's going to continue to be an issue through the 2022 campaigns and beyond, but we'll see. Wrap up your own question there, Dale. What do you think?
Well, I just find it rather amusing. They're screaming that they don't want to do this. They have no need to do this, but they don't want it banned because banning it would be banning that Jim Crow is bad and slavery is bad. It's just that that is not what it's about, and nobody really believes that stuff, but they're just hell-bent on making this nonsensical circular argument that no one's teaching it, so you shouldn't ban it, but we should also teach it. And it's just, I don't know. They're lost in their messaging right now, and I think it's going to hurt them in the long run.
That's what we call a self-licking ice cream cone. All right, folks. Hey, listen, fellas, I'm going to stop there. We got no time left for me to sling another question at you, but there were plenty of things going on in the news that we could have talked about. But as always, Jeff Poor from 106.5, Dale Jackson, WVNN, right here at the home. We appreciate both of you with the Grand Council. Thanks, fellas.
Yes, sir.
All right, folks, listen, we got good stuff, and I'm going to open the phone lines. If you want to call in, it's 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866. What's on your mind? And when I come back, I'll wrap up that Triple Dipper segment I had on national security. I'm going to touch back on the China issue. The gorilla in the room, China. What are we seeing? And how are the Biden policies leading us in that regard? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.